Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Welcome, good listener, this Sunday morning to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We welcome you. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of my friend, my buddy, my partner in this ministry, Elder David Wise. He is the pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman. Both churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We would absolutely love to have you come and visit with us. We also are blessed to meet together every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn in Starkville, Mississippi, the conference room. Just come on in. We have a few hymns. We have a brief message, and then we usually break bread and fellowship together. We would love to have you come and be with us. Visit our website, www.gospel-of-grace.com. It's a wonderful resource. You'll find frequently asked questions about Primitive Baptists, about our doctrine, about our practice. You'll find links. You'll find previous archived messages from this broadcast. We'd love for you to visit there and contact us via that website. We would love to hear from you, whether it be in the positive, the negative, whether it be acclamation, or whether it be rebuke. We just want to hear from you and would love to enter into a conversation with you via that medium. This morning, we'd like to continue on with a series of messages titled The Motive, The Mess, The Miracle, and The Motions. As you know, last time I spoke with you regarding this, we are now discussing the motions or the assurances, the affirmations that we feel as children of Christ from a heart that's been changed, and what that means for us and how it affirms us in our Christian walk and gives us assurance and comfort and boldness in Jesus Christ each and every day that we live. After this wonderful hymn, we'll be right back with this morning's message.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, all ye
exalted, and His glory is exalted.
Thank you for staying with us. We're so thankful for that wonderful hymn. Again, I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and I'm here with you this morning continuing on the messages from the motive, the mess, the miracles, and the motions. Now, just a quick summation of the messages that came before. We talked about motive, how that your motive is very important. And you can outwardly, through some working, do all of the righteous works that have been commanded in the Word of God. But yet, my friends, the motive behind that, if that is not pure, if the motive does not come from a righteous source and does not have a righteous focus, then the work is in vain regarding God. It is no source of righteousness, and it cannot affirm righteousness. Well, the problem is, we also spoke about the mess. The mess is that we're fallen in Adam, and the Bible clearly teaches us that our motives are corrupted. So therefore, if you were to keep a checklist of righteousness and you were to perform all of those acts, if the motive behind the acts, the reason that it compels you to do those acts, is not pure, then it means naught. Well, in the fall of Adam, our motives were corrupted. We became corrupted from stem to stern, top to bottom. We are totally depraved. Well, therein comes the miracle. The miracle is that when you see someone who has a proper motive, when you see someone or you yourself came to a time in your life when you desired to do the right thing for the right reason, and that right reason was just because God is right, and it is worthy to serve Him, and you are unworthy to be in His presence, and just to be able to behave like God with a heart toward God shows that a miracle has taken place, that God has come into your life and He has changed your heart. He has given you the new birth. He has regenerated you. He has made you a new creature. He has circumcised your heart. He has, my friends, done a miraculous work from the throne room of glory above and has worked it in your heart. And now that that change has been made, now we are able to go through the motions. Those motives work in our motions or our works in this life. And we're able to do those things and feel assured in that state of salvation. I would hate to think that I was born again one day and then could not feel the continuing power of the Holy Spirit affirm me and continue to convince me that I am one of God's children. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, gospel assurance is the most valuable thing that we can have here upon this earth while we draw breath. I've heard preacher say one time, I feel so assured and bold in Jesus Christ that He will be true to me and that He will save me and carry me to heaven one day because He's promised to do it. And I've felt it and I've been assured of it in my heart. I feel so assured of that, that I could swing on a rotten grapevine over a burning pit of eternal hell, singing Amazing Grace or Blessed Assurance the whole time and never be afraid of feeling the lick of the flame of hell. I'll tell you, that's what gospel assurance, that's what the affirmation of the heart of a saved person can do for them. It can give them boldness to be able to rise above all of the shifting sands of this world and to live a solid rock foundation in Jesus Christ. It reminds me of that hymn written by Charles Wesley, that theologian and hymn writer. In 1742, he wrote a hymn called, Oh, for a Heart to Love My God. I'm going to read you a few verses of this and just hear the expressions of his heart and his boldness in his salvation. Oh, for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, a heart that's sprinkled with the blood so freely shed for me, a heart resigned, submissive, meek, my great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. A heart in every thought renewed and full of love divine, perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of Thine. See, that brother expressed that in my heart, I feel these things, I know these things, and in having that heart, it is the very throne room of God, where He has never deposed, He has never extricated from it, and He has never abdicated His throne room in the heart of any one of His children. So let's look at some of these motions. Last time we spoke with you, we spoke about how we speak, our deportment. We also spoke to you about affirmation and the motions of forgiveness. And we also spoke about a commitment to marriage and how that's holy, God-honoring, and that it affirms and assures us as God's children. Because remember, my friends, salvation, eternal life, is imparted by God and God alone. It's not anything you did. It's not any invitation unto him you made. My friends, you were dead in trespasses and in sins, and no motive could be pure. How could you have ever come up with or somehow produced a righteous motive to ask God to save you when you're totally depraved? We see from the scriptures that's totally impossible. But my friends, salvation is that which has been given by the Lord alone. And when he gives it, well, what is left for us to do, my friends, is for us to dwell in the evidences of it. You see, every experience of salvation that we have while we live here on this earth is not to the gaining of eternal salvation, but to the experiencing of it and feeling assured and feeling the evidences that it has been given to us by Jesus's pure grace. Go with me to Mark chapter 11, as we stated. We're going to read Mark chapter 11 today for a little bit. First off, we're going to talk about what is a devoted faith show you from the heart. Now, remember, we've been speaking of all these motions, how they are from a heart that has been made pure. That heart is the seat of the emotions. Well, let's notice some verses regarding what does it mean to have a devoted faith. Notice in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Now here, the apostles had been marveling over the fig tree outside of there in Jerusalem that had been dried up. And it typified the drying up of the joys of the kingdom that could have belonged to God's elect among the Jews. But the Jews were hard-hearted, and they would not confess him. They would not worship Jesus Christ as the realized Messiah. And now we read in verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." You see where the seed of this is. "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, certainly we know that if we pray unto the Lord to receive, it needs to be according to the will of God. I mean, if God's has told us that it's bad for us to be consumed with wealth, but yet all we're praying for is wealth, why would God grant that prayer? My friends, if you desire comfort and ease and whatnot, if you're truly one of God's children, if he doesn't give it to you here in time, he will certainly give it to you and answer that prayer in glory. But notice, he said, don't be doubtful, but be faithful. He gave the example of a mountain being removed, and that's just totally contrary to our rational mind's belief that something can be done. But here, my friends, that's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not based on what is tangible, not by what can be seen, but faith is what has been experienced in the life of a child of God. You may say today, well, I don't believe anything you say on here. I don't believe anything that Bible has to say. Well, my friends, very probable then that it wasn't written for you, because God hasn't given you faith in the heart to trust and to understand these things. But you, under the sound of my voice today, let me ask you something. Have you experienced a faith in God? Have you been made to believe something that, according to the world, is completely unbelievable? But brothers and sisters, the faith in God as the Creator and faith in God as our Savior, while evidence is not something that can be weighed in a balance, it's not something that can be drawn on a pad, it's not something that can be tangibly touched, as it were, but it's something, an evidence that God gives you in your heart. Have you experienced that today? You know, recently I've seen a video regarding the multiverse. What does it take? You know, is what science teaches about the origin of time, the origin of being. They still have never come up with how something came out of nothing. Well, my friends, God's word has. But yet scientists are now claiming, well, they believe in the multiverse. Stephen Hawking, who's recently deceased, he was a great advocate and proponent of this concept of the multiverse. And what does that mean? It means millions and billions of years ago, there was a small speck of matter, and then the Big Bang took place. Well, the Big Bang basically shed and seeded universes, multiple, millions and billions, countless of universes throughout being. And the one we're in right now is just one of the multiverse. It means that in the the universe you're experiencing right now, if you're a white man, that there's a universe wherein you're a black man or an Asian or a Hispanic man, or maybe in another multiverse, you are an elephant instead of a man. You know, my friends, let me ask you something. Well, does that not require just as much faith? No multiverse has ever been contacted. No multiverse has ever been experienced. No multiverse has ever been seen. But yet the scientific community readily gobbles it up. My friends, they are exercising faith in science, but yet they'll belittle you for exercising faith in God. But I can tell you one thing the multiverse has never done. The multiverse has never left you a book with 66 books that is full of fulfilled prophecy that has come to pass. But God has done that, so therefore I have faith in that God. I have faith that mountains can be moved. I have faith, my friends, that God will do that, which He has convinced me in my heart that He can do. Notice this verse over in Acts chapter 15. What does a devoted faith give you? Now, you may say, well, all my friends think I'm silly for believing in Christ. All of my colleagues think I'm silly for this belief in the Lord. My friends, but what does God's word affirm to you that belief from your heart, from a pure heart of faith, gives you? It gives you an affirmation, my friends, of that which they can never have unless the Lord does a work in their heart. Acts chapter 15, verse 7, here at the Council of Jerusalem. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts, notice that, God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness. Now, what happened to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house? And what happened to the Jews in Acts chapter 2? Were they regenerated, born again at that moment? No, but they felt a witness of what God had done for them. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. How is their heart purified by faith? Because all of the doubts and fears and negativity that abounds in this life around us, and even in our cold souls, so oftentimes when we doubt and fear, in a heart that has faith in Jesus Christ, God's word gives you the affirmation to know that your sins have been put away. And though you have doubts and fears, my friends, those times in your life when you are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it purifies your heart. There you may say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And in doing that, my friends, the Lord will help your unbelief. The Lord will shine upon you. The Holy Ghost will visit you in a special way, assuring you that, oh, child, though you have doubts and fears, though this world assails you and lies to you and tries to tempt you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the Lord that has saved you. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice this wording. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. Who by him do believe in God? Now notice here Peter is saying you can't even believe in God Almighty without Jesus Christ being in you, without Jesus Christ working it in you. 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Here he's talking about you have held to your faith. You have obeyed truthfully the faith that has been worked in you. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, what has purified your heart? It's the faith that God has given you, and you heard the preaching of the gospel, and you believed it, and you've espoused it, and you've confessed it, and you're walking in it. Oh, my friends, it shows you a pureness that's in your heart that has only been done and worked in you because Jesus has quickened you by His Spirit. He has taken away the cold, dead, stony heart, and He has replaced it with a spiritual heart of faith. My friends, go with me to Luke chapter 8. In the remaining times we have, we're going to look at another motion or affirmation to the child of God that he does belong unto God. Go with me to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to talk a little bit about obedience. We live in a world that hates obedience. You know, it amazes me that people would scoff at you for obeying Jesus Christ, and they'll be negative and derogatory toward you for being just an innocent lamb. Why are you obeying that old time religion, that old fuddy-duddy religion? But at the same time, they demand obedience of you. They will not allow you to believe in your Lord that you have this faith in without them trying to castigate you and cast you down and destroy you, such as it always been to the Church of Christ. Men will not worship God, but they will worship themselves, and they will worship their own worldly economy of Satan in this world. And if you do not fall in lockstep with them, they will try to kill you. They will try to have you deposed, thrown out of your job. They would have you defamed in the community. They demand obedience, but they will not tolerate you being obedient to God. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. And notice here in this parable of the seed of God, the gospel of God that's been spread, notice the affirmation in a good heart that receives it, one that is truly striving to be obedient unto God. He said, verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. The other hearts exemplify, are taught in this passage of Scripture, this parable of the sower. I personally believe they've all been changed by the Spirit of God, but the only ones here who have the affirmation, the boldness that their heart has is honest and good are those that are obedient. They heard the word and they keep it and they bring forth fruit with patience. That means long suffering, obeying even when it's not easy to obey. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. It also alludes to this in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Here the Lord is giving a warning unto the Jews in the present day. Now, most immediately, I think he was warning them of the coming judgment that would come down upon Jerusalem and the Jews in AD 70 when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple and destroyed the genealogies and, for all intents and purposes, totally destroyed and decimated their worship and manner of worship. But, my friends, also, we need to take great care of the coming day of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing you can do that can take you out of or put you into eternal life in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Lord has purchased his people. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah cried, and we'll amen that. But my friends, I do not want to be found being disobedient and rebellious against the Lord when he does come. Even if it's just for a moment in time before I'm taken up to meet him in the air, I don't want to be found speaking ill of my brethren. I don't want to be found lusting after another woman. No, I want to be found obedient. And notice this affirmation for the obedient in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts. You see, all these things are movements, motions of the heart. Said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. No, friends, nobody likes to be overcharged. Amen. That means to be overburdened. I don't want to be overcharged in my taxes. I don't want to be overcharged at Kroger. I don't want to be overcharged by the gas station. And my friend, I don't want to be overcharged in my heart. Well, how can you be overcharged in your heart? Well, my friends, why is it you can get overcharged at the Exxon station? Because you're not paying attention to how much you're being charged. How could I be overcharged in my taxes, my friends? Because I have not sought out a good, diligent accountant or CPA to go over my taxes and make sure that I'm only paying that which is legal. Well, my friends, how can you be overcharged in your hearts? He said, with surfeiting. That means carousing. Being careless in your discipline. That means living according to the way this world would have you living. Just have a Mardi Gras good time. Let the good times roll. That's surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. A heart that's been changed by the Lord, my friends, can be overcharged. There's nothing wrong with having a good time in this life, and there's nothing wrong with entertainments. But my friends, when you put that above and beyond your obedience to Jesus Christ, then your heart, if it has been made good, has been overcharged. It's overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. No, my friends, I want to be found obedient. Just as in our previous verse that we read from 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23. Brothers and sisters, You can love brethren with a pure heart fervently. And why was that heart pure? In the experience of that believer or in us. Because, my friends, we have already been born again. He went on to say, being born again, not of corruptible word, but of incorruptible by the word of God. That word of God there means the command of God, the voice of God, the same voice of God spoken of in John 5:25, when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You see, we once were lost, but now we're found. We once were dead, but now we're alive. And now that we are, my friends, I exhort you to go through the motions, not just the cold, dead motions. No, feel the moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart. By faith, a devoted faith that claims Jesus Christ at the expense of all, at the persecutions of this world. I'll have Jesus Christ. I will hold him up and champion him in this life, though the devil himself and all the minions of hell would rip against me and tear me to shreds. I will have Jesus. Oh, I would see Jesus, my friends. That's a devoted faith, and that's a motion in your heart that Jesus is yours. And that obedience, just being obedient. Oh, my friends, let us be obedient unto the Lord. Obey what he has given us to do and feel him move in our life. Until we're able to speak with you again, may the Lord richly bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.